Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Oh, my goodness. But you're right, Pat. Today is election day. Did you know that yesterday was the 100th year anniversary of a president that was elected, November the 5th, 1912?
100 years.
100 years.
Who would that have been?
Oh, my goodness. You're going to be a...
Surprise?
Woodrow Wilson.
Get out. Come on.
Woodrow was elected president November the 5th, 1912. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you vote for now.
Yes, it does.
We're still dealing with things today.
Still today.
Like the United Nations. That due to that administration, thank you, Woodrow.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, in terms of Christian values and voting from God's perspective, my goodness, I mean, there's a choice out there. I mean, there is a choice. I mean,
definite
right
choice.
Now it's coming down to the wire. Mm-hmm. I mean, every poll that you see is just like, you know, neck and neck. I mean, and both candidates are given everything that they have. And so we will definitely want to talk about the election today and just exercising our right to vote. Mm-hmm. Well, to listen to just a recent report that just came on CBN, and it's talking about we're down to the wire. Listen up.
Election day is just hours away. President Obama and Mitt Romney are sprinting to the finale, making their final campaign stops today. Both candidates are making the toughest battleground states their top priority. Obama making stops in Iowa, Wisconsin, and Ohio, and Romney in Florida, Ohio, New Hampshire, and Virginia. Meanwhile, final poll numbers show the race in a dead heat. A Washington Post ABC News poll has Obama getting support of 49% of likely voters, with Romney receiving 48. A Pew Research Center poll shows Obama with a 3-point lead, 48% to 45%. An Rasmussen poll shows the race tied, with each candidate attracting support from 49% of voters nationwide. CBN's political team has reports from both camps today. Jennifer Wishon is in Chicago at Obama headquarters. David Brody is with the Romney team in Boston.
Mitt Romney's team believes their candidate is surging at the right time.
Walk with me. We'll walk together. Let's begin anew.
Romney's likability rating sits at an all-time high among voters, and the latest polls show him tied in Pennsylvania and Michigan, states originally thought as a lost cause. Over the weekend, crowds at Romney events have been unusually huge, 30,000 in Ohio, close to 20,000 in Colorado.
The polls are so tight in so many of the swing states, including right here in New Hampshire. What you have are dueling neighborhoods. Take a look. You've got the Romney-Ryan sign on this side of the street. You come right across here, and there's Obama-Biden signs. Truly dueling neighbors.
Fortunately, the presidential duel has not split the friendship between these neighbors.
Okay? She's a very nice woman, yeah. I mean, I don't judge someone by their political affiliation. I judge them by the person. Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Manchester, New Hampshire, Romney called in some help from GOP bigwigs, including 2008 presidential nominee John McCain.
And one thing I promise you, Mitt Romney will...
You know, this is so encouraging and so exciting just to hear what's coming down to the wire with all of these candidates. You know, we're not endorsing any particular candidate. What we're doing is just giving an opportunity to hear both sides, just what's going on and educating and informing what both parties have to say. So just listen up. We're going to hear what's going on with President Obama's his campaign is going as well.
The campaign hopes for a Tuesday night victory celebration. Inside the grand ballroom hangs the sign, "Believe in America." It's Romney's belief Americans will ultimately choose him as their next president. David Brody, CBN News, in Boston, Massachusetts.
This is Jennifer Wishon in Chicago. Here at Obama for America headquarters, bleary-eyed Democrats strategize for the home stretch.
People are tired, but people are working hard.
Many who filled this 50,000-square-foot workspace for months have now been sent to battleground states. In the final hours, the campaign calls in as much star power as it can muster, including the president's most powerful surrogate.
So the great thing about Bill Clinton, President Clinton, is he's somebody who has faced a lot of these problems before, obviously has a unique perspective on both the president's record and what he wants to accomplish in his plans, but also the Governor Romney's record. He can really talk a lot about how this is a clear choice when it comes to economic issues.
The race is so close. In many states, it will come down to which team gets the most supporters to the polls. Team Obama has set up 5,000 super local field offices for Election Day.
And look, our theory on our ground game has always been, let's get our people as close to the voters as possible. We want volunteers in every neighborhood who know those neighbors, who know the people that they're talking to, and can really talk to them about the issues through a lens that might make sense in Madison, Wisconsin versus somewhere in North Carolina.
Today, the president spends his final hours before the polls open in three states he easily won 4 years ago, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Iowa. Then he and the First Lady travel here to their home in the Windy City to watch the results come in.
This is just, I mean, it's coming down to the wire, guys. This is, you know, an exciting time for the nation because mm-hmm. this is a time to elect the president. There's other, you know, candidates that are running for other offices as well. But this mm-hmm. is the presidency right now. It's obviously getting a lot of attention.
Right.
And, you know, we're not saying either way. We're saying we need to vote our values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to vote our values. And a lot, you know, in terms of our country, there's so much at stake. I mean,
yeah.
The Lord's given us such a beautiful, I mean, what a beautiful country we have. What a blessed land.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I think for so many years we've taken it for granted. I think many of us,
yeah, absolutely,
have taken for granted the freedoms that we have, the things that we're able to do in this country and say in this country, because mm-hmm. we actually have a constitution that I mean, what an amazing document,
mm-hmm.
you know, what an amazing document, and
many don't even know.
Exactly.
I have no clue.
And to be honest with you, you know, prior to just, you know, maybe a few years ago, I didn't know that much about the Constitution.
No, you're right.
You know,
you're right.
I mean, it's only because I've started seeing that the Constitution was being eroded. I said, wait a minute, I've got to get informed. I got to get educated myself. I really got to get in here and know what my rights are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm thankful for what I do know now.
Yeah, right.
But we all have to. We all have to. It's like vital.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where
right.
we're at right now, when you look at it, and you look at what happened with the Pilgrims and the providence of God. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they came to just find a land where they can serve God. And
right,
out of
worship
that,
him. Right.
Mm-hmm. out of that came the Founding Fathers, the mm-hmm. Constitution, and the country that we enjoy here today.
Right.
But, I mean, we have to, if you don't stand for your country, you're not going to have your country. If you don't stand for the Constitution, you know, we could actually lose it. And I don't remember a time, really, when our Constitution has been so under attack. I mean, it's because it's been under attack that actually kind of woke me up to look at it more and study it more. I don't know if mm-hmm. you know, same as with you, but
yeah, absolutely.
Chris, but it's like, oh my goodness, you look at the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's protecting our rights of you know, our freedom of speech, being able to preach and share the gospel. I mean, this is what the First Amendment says,
mm-hmm.
that Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
That's right.
Prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in other countries, if you say anything,
right,
anything about the government,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it could cost you your life.
That's right.
And it has cost many people their life. Or the press, freedom of the speech or the press, which we wonder sometimes if the press is actually using that freedom, but we're
mm-hmm.
not going to go there in today's program. But
right.
Or the right for people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is pretty powerful. So you got, you know, First Amendment, Second Amendment, our rights to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth Amendment's protection against illegal seizures and searches.
Right, right.
I mean, how important is that?
That's huge.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, we have so much at stake here that we're talking about being a value voter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not candidate or party or, you know, it's about values, about God's values, about what it really matters at the end. We can do with a lot of things, but I'm gonna tell you, we can't do without God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
And it's gonna be rough to be able to do it without the Constitution. Okay?
Exactly.
It's gonna be rough. Okay, mm-hmm. but in the end, God's kingdom always stands. I mean, how about standing with Israel, the apple of God's eye? I mean, God's words clearly tells us that, you know what? I'll bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying that we got to go back to 1967 border lines is not necessarily, you know, a blessing here.
Mm-mm. No,
you know, not being with your ally when there are other countries like Iran saying that we want to blow you up and we are developing a nuclear weapon to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we deny the fact that that the Jews were actually, there was a Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
We say it was made up. I mean, this is not conducive, you know, to a blessing here.
Right.
And then you look at what's happening. You look at what's happening even with, we're talking about values with the right to life. You know, the question is, are we going to vote a personal preference that doesn't line up with God's value? Or we're going to say, you know what does God say? What does his word say? How would God want me to vote in view of his word, in view of his ways, in view? Why would God want me to vote? When you look at it, I mean, since Roe versus Wade, that ruling that said that abortion, the shedding of innocent blood, the murder of babies was legal. Let me tell you, no matter what any kind of a court says, that says, you know, they contradict the word. It's not legal to kill a baby. It's not legal to kill, you know, this is murder.
Right.
To murder, not kill, murder.
Mm-hmm.
That's not legal. 150 million abortions since then.
Mm-hmm.
We've said this before, but if you added the population of the least populated states and kind of move your way up, you will get to 25 states in this country. 20, that's half.
Wow.
Half
of our states,
half of the country, half of the 50 states represent 50 million people.
Mm.
And you look at those destinies, and you look at that innocent blood. You know, come on, is God going to wink at that?
Mm-mm.
Is God going to overlook the blood that's still crying out?
Mm-mm.
You know, there is so much at stake. You know, four states. I don't know if you know about this, guys, but four states are going to be voting on marriage, and which is how they're going to define marriage. And it's really interesting about this that in all four, this is according to ABC News, if all four states vote for traditional marriage, they'll extend an unbroken record where 32 states have already supported the traditional institution.
Mm.
I'm going to say that again. According to ABC News, they're saying that if all these four states that are up right now, they're having an election, obviously today, for traditional marriage, if they vote for it, they'll extend an unbroken record where voters in 32 states have supported the traditional institution. I mean, this is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but it affects, you know, the Supreme Court's looking at this as well. So it's pretty interesting, everything that's kind of weighs in the balance. It's just like, okay, let's see. Let's see what America decides. Let's see what the church decides. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like these elections, kind of puts everyone's cards on the table. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? It is what it is. And
that's right.
They have ways of showing all kinds of records. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All demographics is like, we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We have a choice. I want to encourage you listening today. Maybe you just tuned in, someone just, you know, turned you on to the VFN radio, and you thought, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to vote. I'm going to make every effort to vote today.
Yes,
make every
absolutely.
Effort. Not only vote, but take two other people with you. Take two other people with you. I voted today, first thing this morning. I was so happy to get in there. Saw one of my
Very
neighbors.
Good. So
I was walking in. That was so nice, and we had some time to talk. But you could see just the excitement. People were just excited to be out. You know, the gentleman that was working there at the polling station was saying, man, we've had a busy, busy morning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in New Jersey where, you know, people are still getting out there, still voting. And, you know, I didn't get my little sticker. They don't do that here. They
really?
Don't do that. No,
yeah,
I'm not Florida.
I got a sticker.
No. I in fact, I got in the car, went back in. I said, I want my sticker. He says, we don't do that. I guess I didn't remember from the last time I voted, but
I
thought they ran out. I said, what? I need to get me a sticker today. I voted. You know, I voted. It's so important. It's so important. We really need to know. We need to be informed. We need to. I mean, everyone has. They just did a report on how many television ads. I believe it's almost like 500,000. 500,000 ads have been running on TV nonstop during this time. It's just the billions of dollars that have been spent. Mm-hmm. You know, alone, the campaigns alone have spent close to $2 billion. Mm-hmm. And now I think with all the super PACs, close to $6 billion is being spent on this campaign to get your vote.
$6 billion.
To get your vote, to get you to choose, to get you to decide. We were just talking in the beginning of the program before we went to break about Election Day. It is here. We've been having a countdown. It's been 13 days, 4 days. If you go to the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com, you can type in search election, or you can type in vote, and you will see all the different highlights and all the segments that we've done, doing our best just to educate, just to inform, and just to share the importance of voting and voting our values, voting God's perspective.
Right.
And then we talked about what was at stake. But, you know, the other thing we talked about is saying before we begin to start talking about the Electoral College and get educated here in this process, I want to talk about as well, which has been very silent. You haven't been hearing it much this cycle, is that whoever's elected president today will have the opportunity to more than likely appoint some Supreme Court justices. I mean, you have four Supreme Court justices, I believe, that are in their 70s right now.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a chance that the next president, whoever's elected, can actually appoint a Supreme Court justice. And this is really the president's kind of most lasting, what's the word? Lasting legacy on his presidency.
Right.
Because once you appoint a Supreme Court justice, they're appointed for life. They cannot be fired. And I think it's a great process because it can't be, you know, manipulated or you know, turned anyway.
Right.
But they can vote free, you know, judge freely, rather.
Right.
And I think, you know, this is something just to be another value there that's important because, you know, the Supreme Court justice could overturn Roe versus Wade.
Yeah. Good.
You know, which was the ruling about abortion.
That's right.
Making it legal. And so it's all at stake. And my goodness, we have so much to share and so much to talk about, but it's important. It's important for you to vote. It's important for you to vote today, no matter what. Don't allow weather. Don't allow long lines. Don't allow anyone in the media to tell you this one's up or that one's up or this one's down or that one's down or your vote's not going to count. Let me tell you something. You want to know at the end of the day that you went to the polling station, that you've exercised your right and that you pulled the lever yourself.
That's right.
You want to know that. Not only should you go out and vote today, but call up your neighbor. Bring at least two people with you. Get engaged, share, and bring people to the polls. Listen, it'll be another 4 years until you have to live 4 years with the decision you make or didn't make.
That's right.
You know, and someone once told me, hey, listen, if you don't vote, you can't complain. You can't say nothing now.
That's right. Don't want to hear it.
You can exercise your right there. But we want to talk about the process here in the Electoral College and how our votes and how the process, you know,
unravels here.
Yeah. So go ahead. Let's listen up and listen to this segment real quick.
The Electoral College, in its essence, is basically a compromise. A compromise between having Congress select all of our presidents, which Congress once did, and letting all of us, by popular vote, select our presidents. The Electoral College is what actually elects a president. We all think we do. We don't really. What we do is we vote for these people. These people are the ones who actually have the votes that actuate everything, that make it happen. Each state selects its electors from a bunch of the good citizenry of that state, and they're proportional by the size of the congressional delegation from the states. For example, all of your Congress members and your senators combined produce the number of electoral votes you get in your state. So California gets a whole lot, Texas gets a lot, Montana, North Dakota, not so much. The behavior of the electors is one of the great acts of trust in this country, because only in a few places are they actually bound to what the people in the population say. They could change their mind, and there have been rare occasions in which electors have gone to the actual process of electing the president and said, I disagree with my state, and they've cast another vote. One of the big reasons you always hear for the Electoral College is that it evens out power a little bit. If you just had a popular vote, then the most populous states would really consolidate all the power. And if you lived in a place like North Dakota, you would have very, very little influence or ability to create any influence unless you banded together with a bunch of other states. And beyond that, all the campaigning would only happen in giant population centers. The biggest con you hear is that it can override the popular vote. People can triangulate the electoral votes and actually win the presidency when most of the people in the country do not want that person in the Oval Office. If neither candidate can get at least 270 electoral votes, which is what you need to win, then everything goes wild in this country, principally because the decision then falls to the U.S. House of Representatives. They would have to hash it out there looking at the top presidential candidates, and they would decide who should be the president. And, by the way, each state just gets one vote then, so Idaho would have just as much punch as Florida or New York. Here's the great part, though. The Senate selects the vice president after that happens. That means that with the House now controlled by Republicans and the Senate now controlled by Democrats, you very well could wind up, if you had a tie, with Mitt Romney as president and Joe Biden as vice president.
Wow, so there you have the Electoral College process. Isn't it amazing? Wow. Learning something new every day.
I just learned a lot right there.
You're learning something new every day. And you know what? It's probably not 100% proof. But let me tell you, it's probably the fairest system that's probably out there in the world right now.
Right.
And so you have about 538, electors. 538. Mm-hmm. What happens? Votes. You have 435 that come from the Congress, and you have 100 senators, and then you have three electors from the District of Columbia. Mm-hmm. And so the first one to get to 270 Electoral College votes is the one who mm-hmm. wins,
Right.
And so this is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And what happens is that all the states they vote, and whoever it's a winner take all. So whoever wins the most votes, those electoral college votes goes to the one who won the most votes mm-hmm. in that state. So it's fair. And what it really does too is that it protects smaller states from being recognized, because if it just went by a popular vote, mm-hmm. then 25 of those states that we listed that had small half the country mm-hmm. really,
right.
Like North Dakota, they wouldn't even pay attention to them. And that's the beautiful thing that we have about our country is that, you know what? Every vote should matter. Every vote should mm-hmm. count. It should be as fair as possible. And I think we have a pretty fair system, but we definitely want to pray. I mean, we want to pray that these elections go well, that the country comes out of this united.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, typically what happens is that, we vote for a president. Everyone is either on one side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But once we vote for the president, mm-hmm. history has, for the most part, we make a transition and we get behind whoever is the president mm-hmm. and we root for him to do the best.
All right.
Right now, I mean, we haven't had a female president, but right. whoever's elected president, we want them to do well, because we want the country to do well. We mm-hmm. want to benefit. And so we definitely want to pray over these elections. I mean, there's been so many people involved and so many opinions and so many things that people are holding on to really, really
right.
tightly. You know, there's so many values. It's just so much right now. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at huge crowds on both sides. I mean, people seem to be really get engaged. And so we really want to pray for a smooth transition. We want to pray for things to come out in the end pretty smoothly and place of unity. And right. I think that's a really big thing. What we want to do is we want, you know, while we're celebrating today, Election Day, and exercising our right and mm-hmm. and defending our Constitution and holding dear everything that's American and as believers, mm-hmm. exercising, you know, how God would want us to vote, our values. Mm-hmm. We want to play a segment that was recently aired on VFN Radio, and it's about the Declaration of Independence, Journey to Philadelphia. What we want to do is we want to journey back. We want to recognize and remember. We want to remember what happened with our country. We want to remember the very beginning process. I mean, so many times I think that we fail to look back and we can't appreciate where we are today until mm-hmm. we actually, you know, look back. Well, we're trying to cue that segment for us now. So we're trying to get there together. We're actually going to come back to it. What I want to do is talk a little bit. You know, yesterday we talked about the storm, the nor'easter that's heading to the northeast, and we didn't have a exact definition there for you, but
right.
we're gonna get educated together on a nor'easter today, because let me tell you something. People are still, there's about, I believe, close to 500,000 people still in New Jersey without power. I don't know the exact number in New York right now, and you know it's getting cold. I mean, last night was the coldest night so far of the year, down in the 30s, and now you're looking at this nor'easter coming in that's supposed to come Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so a nor'easter, basically, according to HowStuffWorks.com, I kind of like that website.
Yeah.
Helps me out with a lot of stuff there.
Uh-huh.
But HowStuffWorks.com says that a nor'easter can occur in the eastern United States anytime between October and April when moisture and cold air are plentiful. Now, they're known for dumping heavy amounts of rain and snow, producing hurricane-force winds,
oh, wow.
and creating high surfs that cause severe beach erosion and coastal flooding.
Flooding, right. Wow. That sounds as bad as a hurricane.
But that's already happening. What they're concerned is that because the beaches has already been weakened.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been weakened.
Wow.
And all the water that has already been you know,
mm-hmm.
on the ground and in,
yeah,
in
exactly.
rivers. And,
it's already weak.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I went to visit my uncle, mm-hmm. and he lives right next to a river here in New Jersey, and he lives right across the street from it, mm-hmm. and the water came all the way over, almost down two blocks.
Oh, wow.
So he had about 4 feet of water in his basement, and it was one step away from coming into the home, into the house. I mean, it's just like a river.
Oh, my goodness.
So the weather has gotten, you know, increasingly cold. So we definitely want to pray for these guys up north.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they continue to say that it's basically, there's two main components to a nor'easter. There's a Gulf Stream with low pressure system that moves counterclockwise, and these systems generate off the coast of Florida.
Oh, wow.
They're above the Gulf Stream. The air above the Gulf Stream warms and spawns a low pressure system. So, you know, this low system circulates off the southeastern U.S. coast, gathering warm air and moisture. And so it just kind of flows up the northeastern board there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just really want to, like I said, lift them up. In fact, let's pray now. Lord, we just pray for this nor'easter. Lord, we just pray that it just goes away. I mean, just make it just go away and not affect the folks up here in the northeast, Lord, those that are cold and without shelter. They're trying to find shelter for everyone, Lord. And I just pray that you will just move that storm away, and that no one will be affected in such an awful way as they're forecasting. And you have the last word in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
Keep
Amen.
Everyone warm, because it's getting cold. It's getting extremely cold. I think what we're going to do is begin this journey into Philadelphia, and we'll probably pick it up again in the extra hour. But it's real important, Pat, Chris. Mm-hmm. We want to go back. I mean, I live close to Philadelphia, and I went down and went to Independence Hall, and it was pretty amazing to see, mm-hmm. you know, and to experience what the founding of the country. It was just pretty awesome. So you're going to hear this journey, and we'll talk more about it as we get through. Go ahead and listen up. You know, Pat, we like to talk about the original intent,
mm-hmm.
And so today, you know, I want to share a little bit about the original intent of the nation, of you know, of America. I want to talk about the Declaration of Independence. Oh my goodness. Pat, this is an amazing document. What I mean, I don't even remember learning this in school.
Oh,
I mean,
know.
What grade? You know, it's like my son's like, you know, sixth. I think they do this in fifth or sixth grade. You know, and come on, let's. Mm-hmm. If you're a fifth and sixth grade boy, what in the world are you thinking? You're not thinking about Declaration of Independence.
I know.
You know, you're thinking baseball, football,
yeah,
video
fireworks,
games. Yeah,
yeah,
you know, you're not thinking any of that. You know, you can't appreciate the importance. I don't know. You know, at least I did. You know, I'm speaking
for myself.
I don't
remember learning it as a kid, tell you the truth.
Isn't that something? And then what you do learn is just from really, you know, a worldly perspective, and, you mm-hmm. know, they don't put what truly happened in terms of God and you know, what the Lord was doing at the time. So many of us are having to kind of relearn this and re-experience this, and actually re-experience this with a renewed mind, you know, mm-hmm. because maybe we had a mindset before we came to Christ, but now with the Lord, it's amazing that when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, how he begins to illuminate all areas of your life. I mean, you just don't look at anything the same. I mean, right. I guess that's why the word says that if any man be in Christ, all things pass away and all things become new. It's like, I am a new person here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think differently. I act differently, you know, and this is good. So, you know, you think about the Declaration of Independence, you know, Pat, I actually recently went to Philadelphia. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Philly is a pretty awesome place now.
Oh.
It's a pretty cool city. I was pleasantly surprised, but I wanted to go down because, you know, obviously I live in Jersey.
Right,
but I want
right.
to go down to Philly, to Philadelphia, if you will, so that I could really appreciate and see, I mean, history. History. Mm-hmm. I want to see where the Declaration of Independence was signed, mm-hmm. you know, in Independence Hall. I wanted to see, you know, where Thomas Jefferson wrote this amazing document, mm-hmm. you know, and I wanted to see. I mean, there's so much history that. I mean, it's beautiful. I recommend anyone to go to that city. In fact, they were so helpful. They had these awesome people. I don't know who they work for, but if you're lost in downtown Philly, they have these cool uniforms, I guess, and they'll come up to you and they'll service you and tell you where to go. And I was looking for a Philly cheesesteak after I took in the sides. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was good. It was real good. And the parking is cheaper in Philly. Philly, if anyone's familiar with parking in New York City, let me tell you, it is really good in Philly. But I'm here. I'm in Philadelphia, and we're standing outside of Independence Hall. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, just like sometimes you just got to pinch yourself, really, just to take in, like, how privileged are we? I mean, Pat, this is one of the blessed, mm-hmm. think about it, nations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how many people. I mean, you really can judge a nation by how, you know, how good, I guess, or the quality of life there, or the freedoms that they enjoy, by how many people are coming by the droves and want to come to America, to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when's the last time you've seen people lining up outside of Venezuela? You know what I'm saying?
Not that I know of.
Nothing to do with Hugo Chavez. I was like, no.
Yeah,
when was
right.
the last time you seen them? They're banging the gates.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody want to go over there.
Mm-mm.
You know, and there's a lot of countries like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in jeopardy, America. We are in jeopardy of losing so many of our God-given rights.
That's right.
And what one generation fought for, Pat, and bled for, and literally were willing to give their lives for, one generation has no idea.
Right.
No idea. And so, you know, we have to be vigilant. We got to be aware. We got to educate ourselves. We have to educate our children. And we have to pause and reflect on what happened, you know? Walk in these shoes. Understand what happened. So, you know, Thomas Jefferson is credited with mainly writing most of the Declaration of Independence. And I didn't know this, but Pat, two of our most precious documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution,
right.
I believe that the Declaration of Independence was signed, obviously, you know, actually it's July 2nd, but we celebrate July 4th, 1776.
Mm-hmm.
And the Constitution was in 1787.
Mm-hmm.
And so they both were signed there in Independence Hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so Thomas Jefferson, this is amazing. Thomas Jefferson, they put him up in someone's house. Okay. Uh-huh. I believe it was a bricklayer who owned his house.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson needed some peace and quiet. You know how it is. We got to go away from the ministry. You got to hear from God. Yeah. He's like, get away from the TV and the cell phone and anyone calling me. I got to be alone here, you know? Mm-hmm. Right. So here's Thomas Jefferson away, Pat. He writes later that the flies and the mosquitoes were eating him alive. He was trying to, you know, write this document. Mm-hmm. And he's etching out a document that's going to be, you know, used to birth a nation.
Wow.
I mean, I literally stood outside of this house. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's cool about it is actually this house, and we're gonna put this on the torch. We're gonna put this in the VFN torch. I want to encourage you, by the way. I want to encourage you, by the way, look at the torch. You can access it at VFNTV.com and go to the VFN torch. Pat, I am so encouraged. I see so many encouraging segments that are on there. And oftentimes I might hear the same one twice. I'm thinking, that was so good. I want to hear that again.
All right.
You can have access to this anytime you'd like. Mm-hmm. All the radio segments. You can email them. And many of our listeners, I'm finding, Pat, are actually posting them on Facebook and sharing them with their friends. And so if you feel that you want to do that and you're listening and this, by all means, please continue to share it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make this available on the torch. We're going to make sure that it's on there today, okay?
Right.
But I also want to include the picture of this house. I mean, the cool thing, they preserve this house, like, in downtown Philly. So you have, like, stores and shops and all this type of stuff. But right there on the corner, think of, like, not even half a house. It looks like a quarter of a house. I mean, it's like, it's like, they just preserved this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a house, obviously. And then they made it like, I guess, I don't know if it's like a little museum, but they do have a fancy little plaque on the side of it. Mm-hmm. And you're standing there and you think, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence right here.
Wow.
You know, and I wonder how many people just walk by it and don't even like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was like, oh my goodness, this is cool. So what I want to do is actually read some of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh,
Pat.
Cool.
Pat, this is an amazing document. Mm-hmm. And when you think about that, what they're saying in these documents, the reason why they wanted to, you know, leave Great Britain is amazing. And how it was so worded. I mean, you got to think about it. This is the king here, man. Mm-hmm. And this guy was not a pretty nice dude, okay?
Right,
this is the king there. It took men and women with guts, with conviction to say, you know what? That's it.
Right.
No more. And so the first line here says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We're like, ooh, Thomas, this is pretty good. All right, you're getting it down here.
That's good.
So he says, and this is like the main, you know, kind of, I won't say main section, but this is the most recognizable, I guess, line or portion of the Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson writes, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Pat, those words, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator. Mm. Hello.
Amen.
Acknowledgement of God. With certain unalienable rights, rights that cannot be denied. These rights come from God. They don't come from government.
Mm-hmm.
They come from God.
That's right.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm. Oh my goodness. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words. And so he goes on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men to ensure them.
Mm-hmm.
To secure these rights. Okay, we got to talk about this, because really, how many people, myself included, you know, how many have we taken the time to read any of our documents.
All right.
You know?
That's right.
And so we're just kind of going through some of this. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The powers come from the people, not the other way around. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, check this out, Pat, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. They're saying, listen, when this is not happening, we need to abolish that.
Wow.
We need to make sure that the government upholds this, that they secure this, these rights. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. You're not talking about reflipping nation just for whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. let's think about this, okay? Let's have some wisdom here. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Okay? But now hear this, Pat. This is, I mean, oh my goodness, Thomas Jefferson. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the right, it is their duty to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security. He's saying that it's a right. When these people start encroaching, when a government starts to take over and start restricting rights, that's it.
Right.
We, you know, such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. You know? And so what's happening is that they're getting together and they're saying, listen, we cannot handle this anymore. We don't want to take this anymore. And what they're saying is it's time. And you think about how much the colonies had suffered up to this point, Pat, and they lay it out. I mean, this is not something that was a flip decision or, oh, you know, tomorrow we're just going to, you know, declare, you know, our independence of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were people that suffered greatly. Okay, and listen to this. The history, he writes. The history. I'm talking about the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
The history of the present king of Great Britain. I'm gonna repeat it again. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having indirect object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. A tyranny. You know, Pat, you know, Proverbs says, which is, you know, so encouraging. Proverbs says that we need to take heed to this. We need to listen. You know, Proverbs 28 says that a ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain. I'm going to repeat that again.
Right.
A ruler who oppresses the poor, okay, is like driving rain that leaves no crops.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about overthrowing a government. We're talking about the Declaration of Independence. We're talking about what has occurred. We're talking about reviewing our history and understanding what has occurred, you know, so that we can appreciate our country. Mm-hmm. There's many Americans, many believers that love our country. But, Pat, I'm telling you, if we don't get educated, if we don't know what's happening, if we don't know the travesties that were done before, guess what? We're going to be bound to repeat them.
That's right.
And the way things are going, I'm telling you, we just got to pay attention. So it says, like, a ruler who oppresses the poor is like driving rain that leaves no crops. I mean, you think about driving rain.
Mm-hmm.
Driving rain, I mean, you ever try to plant something? I mean, I'm not the planter, but, you know, I've seen crops, you know, I've seen gardens, you know, but you see little seedlings, you know, like, you know, green leafy things, all right? Don't laugh at me. But you see green, and they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden comes a hurricane wind of rain, you know, a driving rain, and rain that's supposed to be good, like rulership and leadership that's supposed to be good, that's supposed to have guidance, you know, saying, you know, it's good. But the water is literally coming down and it's driving. And you ever look at the dirt or the soil after a hard rain?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of has impressions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And beat up and just tore up. Mm-hmm. And whatever that was growing there, whatever life was there, whatever little bit of hope was there, mm-hmm. it shattered. It leaves no crops.
Right.
And so you're talking about the King of England at this time, a Great Britain. You're talking about his tyranny. And Pat, I believe there lays out about 27 things, mm-hmm. 27 things in this Declaration of Independence that occurred. And we really have to think about it. I mean, and I'll just read some. It says, he has forbidden his governors. Well, this is what he says here. He says, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So it's like, I'm not just telling you how it is. I'm not just telling you that these rights come from God and we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to make our case. Right. We're going to speak with facts. Mm-hmm. And that's like good wisdom for anybody. You know, if you're mm-hmm. saying something, you need to have a little bit of facts on what you're saying. So he's saying that the King of England, Thomas Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence, the signers, the 56 signers, Pat, that signed this document, he has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. Mm-hmm. It says here that he has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance. He forbade them mm-hmm. unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them. Mm-hmm. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature and a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. When you think about it, this king, he basically had unjust restrictions and laws on the American colonists.
What you're listening to right now is the Declaration of Independence. We're journeying back and we're listening to how this country was breaking free from Great Britain and how this new country is going to be birthed. Vote today. Go ahead and just vote. If you've been thinking about it, mm-hmm. don't be discouraged. We're encouraging you. Go and vote. Don't let anyone, you know, news or anything or just go ahead and vote. Just go ahead and bring somebody with you. Bring somebody. This is exciting times. And this is the... You're going to talk about it for the next 4 years.
That's right. That's
that you
right.
did or you didn't. So you might as well go ahead and do it. But we've been talking about the Declaration of Independence, and we're sharing about, you know, how we journeyed back. This was a previously aired segment that we did and that was aired on VFM radio. And this is so good because we get to look at, you know, what was going on at that time. You know, King of Great Britain at the time, he was a tyrant. He was an absolute tyrant.
Yeah.
And they finally had enough and they said, listen, we can't even worship God here. Mm-hmm. This is not going to work. And so they didn't come to this point where they're declaring now. I mean, we throw words around like it's nothing, but they literally wrote up a document, a letter, and they signed it. You know, letters mm-hmm. not only good until you put some names behind it.
Right, exactly.
These anonymous letters, like, come on now, please. You know? But they wrote it, and 56 signers signed it, and they're saying, listen, we want to put you on notice. We are officially saying it's over. You know what I'm saying? We are declaring to you and the world our independence of your rulership. This took enormous guts, mm-hmm. enormous courage, enormous faith, but they did it. But they did it. And so we're going to come back, and we're going to listen some more, but actually reading that right from the Declaration of Independence, there's 27 things that they shared with the world. They just didn't mm-hmm. say, hey, listen, we're out of here. This is why. This is what's been happening. And they document it well. And so we're sharing about that. We're going to come back and talk about it more. Go ahead and just listen up.
About it. This king, he basically had unjust restrictions and laws on the American colonists. He was abolishing their local government, if you will. Mm-hmm. He was forcing them to house soldiers on their own property. Pat, think about this. Mm-hmm. He was forcing them.
Right.
Okay. He resisted the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England. It's right. like, hello, it's a little bias here. Right. You know, how can I get a fair new, our judicial system, although it may not be perfect all the time, it's a pretty good system. It's a pretty good system.
Right.
And so he resists the appointment of judges and other officials who disagree with England, putting military authority and power over civilian authority. Like a police state, if you will.
Right.
It's like, what in the world is the military doing over, you know, restricting their ability to trade with foreign countries, conducting sham trials of government, officials accused of wrongdoing, levying taxes without their consent? And the list just goes on.
Wow.
So you have to imagine, I mean, this is a world superpower at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to imagine the conviction. You got to imagine what the colonists were going through, what these brave men were about to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the height of the suffering and the height of the injustices that were occurring. And so it was time for them to do something. And so they sent this document, and I like it. I'm getting here to the end of it here, and I like where he writes in the Declaration of Independence. He has abdicated the government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas and ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time, transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with the circumstances of cruelty, perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation.
Wow.
And then later on he goes on to say, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned. Now these are noble men, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
We have petitioned for redress in most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. It's like adding insult to injury. I mean, they're saying, listen, I mean, let's work this out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do this, but you're pushing our hand here. And my goodness, I mean, if your leader's like, pay attention, you know what I'm saying? If you're, you know, God listens to the cries of those that are being, you know, falsely persecuted and the injustices that are occurring, God is watching.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just goes on, and it's amazing how they came together. It says, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world, Pat.
All right.
Okay. And so they it finishes. They say they're going to, you know, absolve their allegiance from the British crown. Okay. They have a right to be their own nation. And the very last line says, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Oh.
Wow.
Oh. What men?
Talk about commitment.
Talk about commitment, man. Talk about faith. Talk about standing up for what's right. And it's going to take, you know, us as Americans, us as believers who love this country, not to sit idly back, you know, and to appreciate that the country that we love, the country that we have the freedom of speech, the country that we can read our Bibles, Pat, that we can have fellowship in church, that we just shouldn't take it lightly. That the Constitution is something to be admired, to be respected, and absolutely to be defended, because our rights matter.
That's right.
And if we come, you know, and just allow changes to be made just because people wanted to change them, like, this is not what the founding fathers had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And any law that restricts, you know, your ability to worship God, oh my goodness. There's no really no law at all. It's like, wait a minute, you can't restrict, you know, our rights to serve God. So it's important. You know, a lot of names that we hear familiar, John Hancock and Samuel Adams and, you know,
right.
Benjamin Franklin, you know, many of these men, 56 of them, signed it, and basically they knew that, hey, if this doesn't go well,
that's right,
off with our heads. You know, they knew, right. they're
taking a big chance.
That's right. You know when you're committed when you put your name on it, right?
Amen.
Maybe that's where we got that phrase, put your John Hancock on it, you know,
yeah.
put your signature on
yeah.
it, you know.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And so I just want to encourage, you know, America, I want to encourage the church that this is our time to appreciate, you know, our country, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Well, we've just been talking about the Declaration of Independence, and it's just absolutely just remarkable what these men were willing to stand for. And when you look at the beginning of the Declaration of Independence, when you think about everything that they talked about and everything that was stated, I mean, the opening line, mm-hmm. when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another, mm-hmm. and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station which the laws of nature and nature's gods entitle them. A descent to respect the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Like, listen, we have no other choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator, God. To this day, we're still acknowledging that. I mean, it's not going to go away.
Right.
God is the creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them, these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That's right.
You know, this was an amazing time. And I look back, and as we're talking about this, it's just, I look back and I think about the courage. I think about what this country was founded on. I think about in this election day, mm-hmm. that all the blessings that we've been able to live in, the fact that we've had smooth transition of powers, the fact that we have a constitution that came as a result of all of this. I mean, many people died for the freedom that we have today.
That's right.
As we know, freedom is not free.
No, it's not.
Freedom's not free. And you look at how they worded this declaration. I mean, it was something that was absolutely awesome,
mm-hmm.
and very clear. And it really shows us, too, about just poor leadership. I mean, if you're like the king, you may want to check that out. You may want to think
right.
about what you're doing, because, you know, God's a just God.
Mm-hmm.
God, you know, kingdoms come and kingdoms go.
Right.
But God's kingdom is going to remain, and he's going to take care of his people.
That's right.
And that's the one thing we have to remember about this election, is that, you know what? Whoever gets in office, mm-hmm. God's kingdom is going to continue to advance. God's kingdom is continuing to go forth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we can't get caught up in either. We just got to know that the kingdom of God, the kingdom
Absolutely.
Of God.
Absolutely.
One of the things that is mentioned says that in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. And so at every point, they try to continue to say, listen, this is not right. You need to change this.
Mm-hmm.
You need to change this. And our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury.
All right.
It's like every time they ask, hey, listen, can you just do the right thing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Can you do the right thing? And it says, a prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. And so this is where we're at. We're at the crux of voting. We're at decision time here in 2012.
Right.
And we have to celebrate. We have to remember that, you know what? This country was not free. This country was formed because brave men were able and brave women. Think about the wives and the family members of these men,
mm-hmm.
that oftentimes were at home and taking care of the home front, while these men were fighting, no pay, no promise of anything.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's just like utterly amazing. And we complain now for any type of sacrifice.
Right.
You know, there's a complaint about, you know, long lines to vote. Like, hello.
Right.
You know, you should be happy.
Right.
We, you know, what happens is we just forget, or we just don't know.
That's right.
You know, that's why, you know,
people perish for lack of knowledge. I mean, listen, you got to know. You got to know. But 56 signers, and they were literally, by writing their name, I mean, if this didn't work out right,
all right, you know what I'm saying? They could have been signing their death warrant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what? They pledged their lives, their fortunes, their heads in advance, and that's how you got to do it. You know, you got to go all in, and thank God that they did.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.